My guest in the studio today is Danuše Nerudová, who is running in the elections to the European Parliament for the Mayors and Independence Party. In fact, she is the party's election leader. Welcome to the studio, Mrs. Nerudová. Mrs. Nerudová, a recent poll showed that the dominant topics that Czech voters are interested in these elections are security, energy security and migration. So if we could just take a look at some of those big issues that you could state your position on. Looking at security and the war in Ukraine, because there's a war raging just 300 kilometers from the country's eastern border. Obviously, people are concerned. Czechia has been a staunch supporter of Ukraine from the start. But now, increasingly, there are parties, including parties running in the European elections, that are very vocal in their calls for peace talks. What is your position on this? What is crucial for European security today?
Thanks for the invitation. Well, the crucial thing for the European Union is a strong support of Ukraine, because the Ukraine is also fighting for us. I think that the European Union made a big mistake in 2014 when Putin invaded Crimea, that the response of the EU was very weak. And he took it as the advantage to full-scale invade Ukraine. And I think that this is the lesson we have learned. Honestly, I do not understand those voices, because we are not the ones who could talk about that we should initiate the peace talks. The only person who can say this sentence is President Zelensky. Because his people are fighting, and those people, if you are looking at the recent investigations into the public opinion, those people being in the war with the rockets above the heads, they still think, 70% of these people, they do still think that they should fight till the end. Three quarters of the inhabitants of Ukraine do not accept that they could lose any area of the Ukraine. So we should strongly support Ukraine to win. And I fully understand that the President Zelensky today was asking the questions in the EU. Look, how you reacted on Israel, how you have helped Israel, why you are not helping to us by the same way, why you don't close the sky above the Ukraine. So I think there is going to be the discussion about this in the EU. It's quite a hard topic. And of course, that being in the position of the President Zelensky, I would like to hear the answer to this.
So how far should Europe go in its support?
Well, I think that we should be much more faster in providing all the things they need in the war. We should be more flexible in providing the Patriot and things like this. I think that...
What about troops?
I don't think that it's time to provide them with the troops. We should provide all the military means for them to protect themselves and to fight. But I don't think that the question of sending the troops is on the table. And I think that our government declared quite a clear position on this.
Another big issue that Czechs are concerned about is migration. That, of course, is linked to war. We've seen a big wave of migrants from Ukraine, and of course before that from the Middle East. That is likely to continue, and Czechs are very concerned about this. Here we're talking about illegal migration, and we're also talking about refugees that the country may have to take in. The European Parliament approved a migration pact recently that has come under criticism. What is your position on this? Because I think Czechs are concerned not only about stopping illegal migrants at the border, but they're also concerned about whether the country can handle more refugees, more migrants, if it is allotted migrants within the solidarity principle, having 300,000 Ukrainian refugees that may not have the status of migrants, it may be forced to take on more, and people just are concerned that the country may not be in a position to handle this. How do you see it should the pact be revised?
Well, first of all, I think that we have to differ between the illegal migration and war refugees. War refugees are, that's the different situation. We have the international conventions like Geneva Conventions, and people from Ukraine, they are war refugees, not migrants. And we have to say aloud that we are very successful with their integration, because for the last year, they've paid to the state budget 18 billion crowns. Last month, they have been paid, I think it was roughly about 1 billion crowns, but they have paid into the budget 2 billion crowns. Therefore, we are quite successful in their integration. 120,000 out of them, they do have a job and they do work, and we have here 90,000 kids. So if we will be able to educate them, if we will be able to offer jobs them here, they will substantially contribute to the state budget. And this is not the question of Germany, this is not the question of France. We are quite unique how efficiently we've been able to integrate them into the society and into the labor market.
But if we're talking about refugees from the Middle East,
yes.
Would the Czech Republic be equally successful in integrating those?
This situation where we have a system which is not very efficient is the invitation for illegal migration to Europe. Not to the Czech Republic, because we are just a transit country. All the illegal migrants would like to go to France and Germany. They don't want to stay in the Czech Republic. So thank God that we have approved part of the legislation on the table, because not all of the acts have been approved. You can see in the European Union there is a lot of emotion. Left-wing parties are talking about the end of humanity in the European Union. On the other hand, the right-wing parties are talking about that we need more protection. And there is a lot of emotion in it. And I think that we need kind of rationality in the discussion. So thank God that we have started to regulate it, that you can find there the introduction of detention. If you have the detention on the external borders, then you have the control on the flow, who is moving in the EU, the fast repatriation process. What I'm missing in it, but I'm not satisfied with this, is that there is no interaction with the third countries, solving of the issue in the country of the origin of the migrant. This is the thing European need to work on, because it's completely missing in the migration pact. And I consider it as a good basis for a further development of migration pact. And I think that that's the huge task for the newly elected parliament, because the number of migrants, of course, will be increasing, because we are going to face a climate migration. And we will not stop migration by having billboards with the word stop migration. We really need to act, and we need to protect European Union.
Another hugely divisive issue is the Green Deal. There are many parties running in the elections in this country also that are highly critical of the Green Deal, and Czechs are concerned first and foremost about the ban on combustion engines, because our industry is driven by the automotive industry. People themselves are concerned about the looming threat of the ban on gas boilers. We've seen farmers protest over restrictions linked to the Green Deal. How are you going to address those concerns when you try to win over voters? Should the Green Deal be revised?
Yes, Green Deal needs to be revised, because Green Deal has been approved in completely different environment without the war. And the war is the game changer. The fight for the resources is the game changer. And security is the game changer. So definitely, Green Deal will have to be revised. But Green Deal also comprises a lot of acts which are okay, like the reconsideration of EU ETS, CBAM, for example, the introduction of CBAM, the introduction of Social Climate Fund. Well, there are a lot of things which need to be reconsidered in the era of the energetics and so on. But the climate change is going on. We can see it on the street. We are the first generation who is facing it. and the last one who can change it.
But the big polluters in the world are not doing anything. If you look, United States, China, Brazil, India, and what they're arguing is with its 8%, Europe is going to do this, undercut its economic growth. Is it worthwhile when the others are not making a move in this direction?
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, that we need to take into account the state of industry and the fact that we are more industrial countries in Europe as the Czech Republic, and we will have to discuss how to support the industry in the green transition. And well, I'm talking with the CEOs of those companies, and they knew that there is a green transition, but all of them are addressing one issue, and that's predictability. They do calculate with green transition, but they would like to be sure that once there is some act telling them to do something, that it will be still true after 3, 4, 5 years. Or if there is going to be change, they will let them know in advance, which is not really true at the moment. So predictability for the European industry is the crucial issue, how to survive the green transition. And the second thing is the raising of the capital. We need to accumulate enough capital to do the green transition. And this is very much connected with the creation of capital market, which is very fragmented in the EU and is not efficiently working as it is working in the United States. And the businesses need a functioning capital market in the EU for the green transition, to raise the money for the investments. And it's not only the question of public investment, but private investment, because private investments are those which should be supported, because we have the internal market, so we should be able to use the advantage connected with the internal market, that we have a huge internal market in the EU.
Do you feel that that Europe is overregulated, that less regulation would increase Europe's competitiveness?
Definitely, that's on the table. I think there should be like ban on the regulation, and also we should reconsider the legislation, like 3-4 years, measuring the impact on the business. This is what we should do, because once the directive is approved, nobody is reconsidering the impact on the business. Only in some of the directions which has been adopted by the European Parliament, but I think this should be in every directive, the reconsideration and the measurement of the impacts on the business.
There's also been a big debate about the difficulty of European decision-making, given the number of countries in the alliance and the right of veto. Now, the right of veto still applies in three areas: foreign affairs, defence and finances. Elsewhere, you have qualified majority voting. Do you think this should be maintained? Would you be in favour of having a qualified majority vote in those areas as well?
Well, we need to open up the discussion and to reconsider, especially if we are talking about the EU enlargement, not only by one country, but by more countries. Every huge enlargement of the EU was accompanied by the changes in the treaties, and this is what is going to be on the table. If somebody is talking about that we need veto, and second sentence is that we need to enlarge the EU, he is just lying, because it's not possible. So we need to open up the discussion in which areas and how to change the process. But I have to say that again, there is a lot of emotions and zero rationality in the discussion in the Czech Republic, because it's not connected with the loss of national sovereignty, because in 97% of decisions, Czech Republic was in line with the others. Only 1% we voted against. So we are very efficient in searching for our allies and in creation of the coalition. So I wouldn't be afraid to enlarge veto in certain areas, for example, the international affairs.
One final question. According to a survey, only around 35% of eligible voters are planning to cast their ballot in the European elections. Why should Czech voters go to the polls and vote in these elections? And why should they vote for your party? the mayors in independence?
Well, because those elections are going to be about whether we will be electing populists and Eurosceptics to the EU, who will be blocking everything and telling in every time no, or whether we will vote for people who will be actively trying to create Europe and to get the best for the Czech Republic. So if you would like to have people in the European Parliament who are active, who are actively taking part, who would like to create a future EU and who will be working for the Czech Republic to get the best for the Czech Republic, then you should vote for me, for us, for STAN.
Danuše Nerudová, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the invitation.